fans, and welcome to another edition of Vancouver Giants. This week on the Mighty Sportsnet Radio Network, presentation of the fine folks at White Spot. If you have not been to White Spot recently, where you been? That actually should be the catchphrase. If you haven't been to White Spot recently, where you been? It's White Spot. It's awesome. You can never go wrong at White Spot. I mean that sincerely, too. Yeah, I work for the Toygos. They're in, you know, they own the White Spot chain. But I'd tell you that if I worked for Aquilini, I'd tell you, hey, man, first of all, I wouldn't work for Aquilini. But secondly, well, thirdly, he wouldn't have me work for him either. But that said, I would still be telling you to go to White Spot. Check it out. My go-to at Jet is always often the same. It's get the legendary burger. Do not add the pickles. Do not add the lettuce, though they come with it for free. Hello, White Spot. But just the legendary burger, extra triple O on the burger. Aloha, mateys. It's the place to be. Anyway, this is White Spot Vancouver Giants this week. This is Sportsnet 650. I'm Brooke Ward. Bill Wilms going to join us in a couple of moments. Nathan Canter as well. A 1-1-1 week for the Giants. One win, one loss, one OTL, and a 28-21-7 record right now for your Vancouver Giants. Hanging around there, sixth spot in the West. Make sure you check them out. They got a bit of a road trip coming up, and then they're back home on Sunday, March the 2nd. Yes, March the 2nd is almost upon us. Is almost upon us. Giants at Spokane on Wednesday, Friday they're at Tri-City. Saturday, March the 1st, they're in Everett, and then they're home. What a busy week. Sunday, March the 2nd, they host Wenatchee the Wild, invade the friendly confines of LEC on March the 2nd. Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday for the Giants. Not a lot of rest for the kids. Good thing they're kids. If I was their age, I'd be like, yeah, let's do this every day. At my age, there's not a lot of anything I want to do every day. But anyway, that said, Giants with the 1-1-1 weekend. Started off with a victory on Friday night in beautiful downtown Kelowna. Giants 5-1 over the Rockettes. Lipinski had two goals and two assists, was a +5 in the hockey game. Tyler Thorpe is 23rd of the year. He was a +4. Colton Alleyne was a +3 in the hockey game, too, had one assist. And Tyus Sparks, this rookie, you've got to talk to Bill about him for sure. Tyus Sparks, the rookie, had his 8th on Friday night. Tittleback is 24th. On Saturday, the Giants lost a 4-3 decision in overtime and home ice to Kelowna, who ended, by the way, a 15-game losing slide with that win. Giants were down 3-1 in the third, came back, forced OT. Thorpe, his 24th. Sparks, his 9th. Roberts also on the scoreboard in that one. Sunday, Wenatchee, the Giants on the road. The Wild beat the Giants 6-2. Wild led 4-0 early in the second period. Tittleback, though, is 25th for Vancouver. It's Tittleback guy in his second year with the Giants. Get 25. Sparks is 10th, his first year with the Giants. Tittleback a helper in that game, too. The hot hits of the week, the totals of the week. 1-1-1 record for the Giants in their three games played. Sparks had three goals, again up to 10. Lipinski had a couple of goals and three helpers. Tittleback, as mentioned, 24 and 25 for Tittleback. So 25 of the season now for Tittleback. And hot hits of the week, Lipinski had a couple of goals and three helpers as well. Ty Thorpe, the two goals we spoke of. And Sparks, his three, up to 10 on the year for this rookie. Good stuff. Roberts, a goal and two helpers. Muranov for Vancouver as well. Three assists over the three-game weekend for the Vancouver Giants. Again, the Giants at Spokane on Wednesday and Friday night at Tri-City. Saturday at Everett, hosting Wenatchee on Sunday, March the 2nd. Get your tickets right now, VancouverGiants.com. I think I mentioned just moments ago, Giants were 6th. They are indeed tied for 6th in the West with Tri-City. Each team has played 57 hockey games. There's 11 to go. Giants are 2 behind 5th place Portland and 5 behind 4th place Prince George. Prince George, home and cool. Top 4, pretty well home and cool. You're down to your final 11 games, and you're 5 out of a maybe hosting first round of the playoffs. Brooke says, yeah, they're probably home and cool, Prince George. Not for sure, but probably. But you can get into that five hole against Portland. And right now, Prince George is in the four hole. The Western Conference standings, Everett with 87 points, top spot. Spokane has 80. The Royals, 77, but they're slugged second because they lead the Western Division, or at least the Pacific Division, BC Division, if you will. So right now, if you're Vancouver 7, you'd play 2. You would be playing Victoria in a home-and-home with the Royals. If you're scoring right now, then again, Tri-City's higher than Vancouver in the standings. They have one more regulation win. Tri-City would get Spokane. Everett would get the Thunderbirds. The Royals get Vancouver. Right now, it's Tri-City and Spokane. Have I confused you yet? If not, stay tuned. Prince George and Portland as we speak. First round of the playoffs, 11 games to go. A lot to be decided. When we come back, Billy Wilms is going to join us in a couple moments. Nathan Cantor later in the program, too. I'm going to talk to Nathan about what life is like on the buses for the players. Do you sit at the front? Do you sit at the rear? Where are the coaches? You get a row to yourself? Are the veterans at the back? Are they in the middle or at the front? What goes on a road trip? How hyped up, how psyched up are the players on a road trip? Is it a loud bus on your way and a quiet bus coming home, depending on what happens? That is Nathan. I'm off my game today. Anyway, if this was not live, I would be redoing this right now. Bill to join us in a moment. Nathan, too. I'm Brooke Ward. This is White Spot Vancouver Giants This Week. This is, in spite of me, the mighty Sportsnet Radio Network, the flagship station. Oh, by the way, hello to Jack. Hi, Jack. How you doing, buddy? Ho, ho, ho. Told you I'm off my game. I forgot about Jack. This is Sportsnet 650. Attention, attention. White Spot Vancouver Giants This Week is back. Bill Wilms is here. Drawing your attention, Sportsnet 650. Hello, Mr. Wilms. How are you?
I am great. Just fantastic.
Really? Why?
Love. Yeah, well, okay. Weather's warmer, number one. I'm greatly affected by the temperature outside. Mm-hmm. I'm able to start my car from my house, a remote starter.
Yeah.
And I don't have to do it in this kind of weather, yeah. So that's cool.
But you can. You can.
I can. And I do it when there's ice on the window. It's a great feature.
Oh, isn't it huge?
But you know what you got to remember? You have to remember when you turn your car off at night that you've got your fan running high, right? So that when you turn it on in the morning, it's doing its job.
Interesting.
Yeah, I tend to forget that quite a bit. And then you don't want to go out. The whole purpose of starting your car from inside is that you don't have to go out. So your windows don't clear up very much if you haven't got the fan and the defrost going. So you got to remember, have that on at night when you turn your car off.
Interesting.
And then the other thing why I like it now, Brooke, is the days are getting longer.
Big time. And for those who don't know, that have older cars, newer cars, have the remote, you can start the car from 20 feet away. And the windows will roll down or whatever you want it to do. It's like, you know, it's AI. It'll start your car and start to warm it up before you get to your car. That's a good feature. Mm-hmm. When I was young, Bill, that happened a lot, but then I would look out the window and the car would be driving away and someone was stealing it. And I'm like,
yeah, exactly.
What a great feature. Oh, wait a minute. Who are those two? Hey, Giants, 1-1-1 on the weekend. Hot or cold? Nice segue. Hot or cold? Were they hot or cold on the weekend?
Little on the hotter scale, on the scale of 1 to 10, with 5 being right in the middle, in terms of team temperature, I would give it about a 7.
1-1-1 on the weekend. What worked for you? In a moment, I'm going to ask you what didn't work for you. But what gives you the 10 out of 10, and then what brings you down to the 5 out of 10? We'll start with the 10 out of 10, and we even out at 7.
Well, yeah, I took the whole weekend at about a 7. It was a great start Friday in Kelowna. The 5-1 win, Brooke, honestly, that might have been the best performance in the first period in terms of being on one page and playing fast. My gosh, these kids were skating. It was wonderful. They opened the scoring one. I mean, they took a penalty at 40 seconds into that first period. And you're thinking, what? You're not even going to be able to get all the lines out on the ice. And it was a speed bump. I mean, it was like nothing to it. Took a 1-0 lead, took a 2-0 lead. Kelowna makes it 2-1, then a third penalty of the period. That got, I think, the team's attention. The other two were minor. They got through the penalty kill and kept flying. When Kelowna made it 2-1, and now you get another penalty, you got to kill that off. It was clearly a case where these, it was like thoroughbreds. They wanted a run. And it was like, okay, now you got to be careful. You took three penalties. You played 6 minutes of period one shorthanded. And you got a 2-1 lead. They adjusted wonderfully in period number two. No penalties. I don't think they took another penalty for the rest of the game. Made it 3-1. And then, you know, 4-1, 5-1. And again, and I want to talk about him later. Tyus Sparks scored again on Friday night, the 16-year-old for me, becoming a big story in Vancouver. The Lipinski-Muranov-Thorpe line that night, Brooke, plus 11. How do you like that, eh? And I think Lipinski is really doing enough to catch Calgary's attention. The Flames had drafted him. He had that line is what, 6'4", 6'4", 6'3". And when they move, when they're skating, that's pretty impressive. And as I say, Sparks scored his eighth. We'll talk about him a little bit later. And Burke Hood, Brooke, it was impossible, I thought, to make a solid 33 saves on 34 shots, a 9.70. I thought it was impossible to make it look easier. It was just nothing there. He made one massive save when it was Vancouver 3-1 lead on Jakob Stansel. Think Connor McDavid, the winning goal for Team Canada. The puck finds Stansel in front of the net. He's a leading scorer on the team. He's a leading scorer in the World Junior Tournament that just completed for Czechia. I mean, he led the whole tournament. And he makes a save that is unbelievable. And in fact, stops the rebound from being tucked in on the short side by Stansel. It was just a great 5-1 win. And I'm sure it was an extremely happy bus trip coming home.
Too many points you make. 15 points. Speaking of points, 15 points on the year, I believe, for Lipinski against Kelowna, who chipped in. He had two goals and two assists on Friday night in the 5-1 win, and then on Saturday night he an assist, I believe, on Saturday night was against Kelowna. Anyway, was held off the score sheet against Wenatchee yesterday. But so many points in there, Bill. But the first one I want to go to is just. Again, I learn something every time I talk to you. And I should know this anyway, but you're shorthanded three times in the first period and you in the Friday night game, and yet you come out with a lead. And as you mentioned, you're trying to roll your lines. What does that do to you when you're shorthanded three times in the first period to your lines, despite a two-run lead coming out of that?
Yeah. Well, okay. And that's a great question because, you know, it's a night. It doesn't happen every night. But it's a night where the guys want to go. I mean, they want to run. Now you got the guys that want
to play. Explain that to me. Guys want to go. Guys want to run.
Well, okay. They're excited. The puck's moving. They're moving it. They're skating. They want to win races. You know, think of thoroughbreds running around a racetrack.
You see that. You can see that from the booth, basically.
Oh yeah, you can. The coach looks at that. Probably the first 2 minutes. That's his main observation.
Really?
The old word, who's going?
The coach who sees that.
Oh, yeah. Manny sees that. They say, okay, who's going? Oh, look, my goodness. Every line out there is flying.
In 2 minutes?
The first 2 minutes of a period. First 3 minutes, they've seen it all. They know pretty much who's going. Now, the case is often who backs off. Who doesn't keep it going? But when you've got everybody, all 12 forwards, including your defensemen, but specifically your forwards, because they're the ones that are racing, the team chemistry is disturbed when you just put out your penalty killers now. Okay, that I'm sitting there tied to the bench. I want to play. I'm ready. Everybody's going. And I got to sit there and watch 6 minutes of penalty kill out of the 20. You know,
can that throw guys for the whole game?
Well, you got to get it back.
Yeah, but can it throw guys for the whole game? Like, if you were Lipinski, as an example, had a great game. But as an example, you're ready to go. You're ready to go. I'm killing penalties. Can that mess you up for 60 minutes?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
that's you're again the whole chemistry of not only the guys that are killing penalties, but it does put you in it. Like Lipinski's a great penalty killer, as Muranov. Okay, so they're going there. Their first shift was great. They were flying, everything else. Now they got to go back and kill penalties. You go back in a defensive posture. Now the offense is gone. Okay, so the penalty's over. You got to get it back again. And it happens. It happens a lot. It's harder to get all of that back once you're disrupted, once you become a bit discombobulated as far as your lines are concerned, as far as penalty killing is concerned. You know, even power play is great, Funny. Obviously.
Never but thought about it.
You know, if you've got fourth line guys, they're not going to get on the power play, obviously. But be that, and we'll talk about Sparks again later. I'm teeing him up because that's a special kid. And you know he's got 10 goals. Yeah, so the team chemistry is always something that coaches want to see right away, right off the bat.
Sorry I threw you with that. I just found it so interesting that it's like I've watched hockey forever, Bill, but I've never really thought about a couple early PKs can, even successful, can throw your whole 100%. Routine off.
100%.
Yeah, because I played goal, so I didn't know any better. I just wanted a couple early shots, frankly.
Yeah,
but it would be like a goaltender not getting a shot to the 10-minute mark. It's like, yeah, okay, I'm out of this. Just hit me. Hit me with the puck.
Yeah. You know, exactly. Yeah, no, that is a big thing. And I often mention that first 3 minutes into a broadcast. I'll say to Nate, look, I mean, you know, coaches are watching, right? Okay, I can tell everybody. That game, everybody was flying, right? Early. And once they settled down, no more penalty kills. Like I say, they blew it open.
Yeah. Can you as a coach see guys, okay, first period, like, oh no, we're messed up because we had so many penalties. Can guys get it back then? Could you go to a Sparks and go, oh, by the third period, as an example, you see him get the rhythm back and start to roll those guys? What goes through the mind of a coach?
Yeah, well, I mean, you can, and I can tell you what else. Sometimes the best guy that communicates most closely with a coach on the bench is the trainer.
Really?
There's guys at the end of the bench where he's sitting that he can tell this guy's really, really angry. This guy's really, really ready to go. This guy's not happy with his shift. And because they can read body language.
And the trainer will go to the coach actually and say, this guy's hopping?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, he'll go over and he say, or he's not hopping. He's, you know, he's too angry. Or
really?
He's, you know, he's
never thought of that.
Oh yeah, there's great communication.
Wow.
Yeah, trainers, you know, they're at one end. Okay, they're at one end of the bench, and you're going to get defense sitting there. You're going to get forward sitting there, and you're going to pick up. Mike Bernstein, I'm sure, he picks up a lot of stuff, and he's got to decide whether that's important to communicate that to the coaching staff or not.
Wow. So he's not just pulling sticks and seeing who's hurt. The trainer's actually communicating with the coach during the game of this guy's going, this guy isn't. Trainer should choose to.
Oh, yeah. And the other thing is that some guys will come off the ice hurt and never let anybody know. Okay. Some guys will, you know, like soccer players say, not exactly, but, you know, they look like they're dying. But and hockey players are tougher than any other breed of hockey, of athlete. I mean, Mike will be at one end of the bench and he'll know one guy came off and he's hurting a little bit. That's got to be communicated.
Wow.
In fact, he might, the trainer might say to the player, ask the player, are you okay? You're ready to go? Can you go next shift?
Sheesh.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's great. It's great stuff.
And, that's great stuff that you're just telling me, because I'm thinking you could have a coach get fired and move to another team and say, I want that trainer. Bring the trainer with me.
Yeah. Well, he's got to be careful, too. The trainer isn't a coach, but he can certainly tell the body language, and he can, you know.
Wow.
Let me put it this way. Trainers, I'm sure, are pretty understanding of you know, the language that these kids use, and you know, that body language and language coming out of your mouth is often a telltale of where you're at that particular point in a period or that particular point, you know, even after a shift. I mean, he can't get in the way, but he can certainly communicate some subtle knowledge, you know, that he's hearing at one end. I mean, it's always been that way, and I'm sure it is the same, you know, now.
Amazing, you know, really. The insight is great, because you've done it all too. You've been a coach. You've done all this stuff. You've been a player. I've never really thought of that. Like, man, that trainer may out me.
Well, you got to be terribly sensitive of where that line is, you know?
Yeah.
You got to be sensitive to the stuff that, let's say, a coach says, you know what? I want to hear that because I can't see that. I can't see that at where you're sitting. I can't hear that where you're sitting.
Hmm.
You know, where you're standing behind the bench. I can't hear what's going on down there.
Great
I mean,
stuff.
Adam can too.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's that, and he has to be very sensitive to what here is just stuff that really doesn't matter and what is stuff that might have a value in the game.
Were you a, as a coach, were you a yeller? Did you yell at the officials? Were you, because you seem so calm to me.
I can't
picture you yelling at the ref. Were you a yeller?
You got to do that in such a great way, I think. You got to do that. I don't remember getting thrown out. I think I might have once, but...
You might have once got tossed.
But I'll tell you what, I knew exactly, I thought, what to say at the right time. I would actually tell a referee, not often, but we'd be killing the penalty, let's say, and we get another one, two men short. And I would subtly communicate at times, at the right times. You know what you're doing by giving us another penalty where we're two men short. You know, my livelihood in this job is at stake here. You know how simple it is to take that away by doing that? Because, you know, a two-man advantage is often a goal. I want you to be sensitive, Mr. Referee, to what I have to do here behind the bench, because I want to be sensitive to what you got to do on the ice.
Wow. I'd be back going to the ref. Okay, I'm going to have to yell at you in a minute, and it's going to look demonstrative. But
you have to keep that out of it, Brooke.
Yeah.
You can't let the crowd know that you're having that kind of referee, because now you're embarrassing the referee.
Yeah, but I'd be saying to the ref, I'm going to have to yell at you in a minute. Feel free to yell back, but just so you know, my job's at stake. I'm going to have to yell at you, but it's not personal. Okay. You yell back if you want, but I'm going to have to yell. That's like a baseball umpire thing. I think if I went nose to nose with an ump, I'd be saying, I wouldn't be swearing. I'd be like, I have to yell at you right now just for the fans. Okay? Okay.
Yeah.
And you go. But that's amazing. Tyus Sparks, as we mentioned, 10 on the year, 3 in 3 games, I believe, for Tyus Sparks. How about this kid?
Well, yeah, he's I don't think people really know how actively this kid was recruited last year as a 15-year-old. By the U.S. National Team Development Program. That's the entry level, probably a little bit more than entry level, for the U.S. to determine their world junior team. They're a team that's based out of Ann Arbor, Michigan, and they play a schedule, a year-long schedule. They play a lot of college teams, NCAA teams, and they play teams in that USHL, the U.S. Hockey League, as well. It's a very, very elite program. And at 15 years old, when he was playing minor hockey, I think in Chicago, he's from Boise, they wanted him badly on that program. And he decided, you know, to come to the Giants. Now, what's really impressive about him is, you notice it right away, is his shot. Okay? That kind of jumps off the page at you, how good this guy shoots the puck. Now, your shot in hockey is just often finishes the deal, but your legs got to get you to the table to sign the deal, okay? And you watch his legs. He's number 5 for the Vancouver Giants. He's 16 years old. You watch his quickness. He springs out of nowhere. I'm not talking like full length speed. Ice 200 feet. No. It just, all of a sudden, bang, he jumps into it. Now, you see that rapid movement. He's got a body that moves quickly. You see his acceleration that allows him to get through defenders. All of this is leading up to that shot. And you notice how he gets his chances quickly. There's not much buildup. All of a sudden, bang, bang, he explodes into a little area, gets a shot, and it's in the net. Or at least it's a shot on goal. And he does all this, Brooke, on a 5'11", 195-pound frame. it's really remarkable. And he's doing some of the stuff in the roughest part of the toughest part of the schedule. I wouldn't be surprised at all. The way he's playing, he's just forced himself into the lineup other than the fourth line. And on the weekend, it's funny because I remarked to Nathan at one point, you're going to see this guy in the power play because of his shot from one side. You know, today you got to go cross ice from circle to circle most times to beat the goaltender. They'll beat you with a straight on shot from the point, but you got to get the goaltender moving side to side. And you got Cameron Schmidt on one side, you got Leslie on the other side who jumps in. And I tell you what, I think they started put sparks on the power play as well. And what did he have? He had a goal in each game on the weekend. And he's just, like I say, he's just forcing himself into the lineup. Haliburton didn't play. He was sick. There's illness going through the team. And Sparks just absolutely moved up. I think he was on the second line against Wenatchee. He played with Levis and Fiddleback. You can't keep him out of it's one thing to keep a 16-year-old out of the lineup. You can't keep him out of the power play. You can't keep him away from the top two lines.
Manny likes him, right? Yeah, I've heard you guys post-game, too. Manny just drew 5 goals in his last 4 games, by the way, 2 against Prince George a week ago.
Wow.
Yeah. He just looks so solid to me, Bill. Among other words, I don't have anything other than solid, basically, to say he looks solid. He looks... He looks solid. He looks Tyson Benson-ish almost to me in sort of size.
100%.
Yeah.
But he's much quicker. His quickness, there's a difference between speed and quickness. His explosiveness from 4 feet. I mean, he gets to spots so quickly, you don't even notice it. All of a sudden, bang, he's there.
Yeah.
Like he showed up on a goal on the weekend where Levis left the puck at the Kelowna blue line. And Mittelstadt picked it up, skated in on the net, and when you looked at the replay, Tyus Sparks got there exactly the same time that Mittelstadt was throwing it across the crease area.
He's going to be
and
fun.
And he gets it with such authority, man.
Yeah, he's going to be fun to watch.
You know, I want to say one thing about the game on Saturday, the 4-3 overtime loss. And I want to talk about Thorpe. Remember when he came out and tied the game at 22nd mark of period 3, they were down 3-1 after 2 periods, right?
Yep.
And Muranov and Lipinski, talking about speed again, that big line, they come out of their own zone, and Muranov gets the puck. Lipinski is flying down that right wing, and he gets the stretch pass from Muranov. He's right below us, and I'm thinking, holy, is Lipinski picking him up and laying him down? Gets the pass and then drops into it throws a drop pass into the circle to Tyler Thorpe. And it was an important goal at 20 seconds to narrow the gap from 3-1 to 3-2. He scored his 24th goal of the season. And for me, and this is just my opinion, I don't know if there was one goal of the 24 this season that was more impressive than the shot that he took on that draw pass from Lipinski. Brooke, when he releases the puck, the Kelowna player's stick is less than 3 feet from Thorpe's stick. And he's got to get it off that stick so quickly. Otherwise, he's checked. And his technique, I looked at it 2 or 3 times, his technique on that release was NHL quality all over it. He kind of almost had to get to one knee down low, and the release was at the Western Hockey League as good as you'll see it. I mean, the second, Brooke, it hit a stick. His technique, his body posture on the shot with the other player's stick, almost like 3 feet from the puck. And he's got to get it away. Otherwise, that play's broken up. And it was a big goal, made it 3-3. Or 3-2, rather, got him within one, and it was important now to get that game to overtime, and they did. And again, the fourth line, Kale, Morelli, and Olsen, the work they did, there were 5 screens, I counted them, 5 players screening on the Roberts shot from the point. Olsen lifts his leg as he skates through the goalie's vision. Morelli is in the face of the goaltender, Stosur, He's literally in the face. You, if anybody ever watches that replay, the goalie never, he never takes his eyes off the play in front of him, like the shot coming from the point, when the puck is in the back of the net. He looks over at the referee to his right, and the referee's pointing at the goal, it's a goal, and he hasn't seen the puck. It's incredible. And then, you know, you go to overtime. It's a, you know, they always say it's a bit of a toss-up, right?
Yeah.
But there's one thing, a must in overtime, an absolute critical must. You have to have goaltending, because so many great chances develop on three-on-three. The skill level is so good at this level, three-on-three, that your goaltender is going to have to make some brilliant saves. Think Burke Hood not too long ago. What game was that? He had six shots in overtime, was perfect on all of them. Prince George, I think it was. And, you know, Will Sharp won that game, went up the ice. I think he caught Tittleback one-on-one on a three-on-three
yes.
in overtime.
Yes, and but Tittleback was the last man back, but he made a great move. But still,
he did.
Yeah, you got the forward, the last man back. Like, oops,
yeah,
that was a problem.
Good luck. And and he got to tuck that puck in. He made a good play, but he did tuck it in on the tight side. So, yeah, some of the takeaways for me from the week. I mean, this team was tired in Wenatchee. I mean, come on.
And flu-ridden. There's a flu bug, too. Let me ask you. I got 1 minute before we go. I'm way too long on you, Bill. Sorry, pal. I kept you this long. But just in sparks, just brought to mind, he scored 49 goals, had 90 points in 45 games with the L.A. Junior Kings a couple of years ago. Then he scored 33 goals in 37 games for the Windy City Storm. Never heard of him. Last year, I believe. You got this guy who's used to scoring goals. You bring a rookie in here, and he's got 10, which is a lot for a rookie. But
oh, yeah.
What happens to the rookie that comes in used to scoring goals? And I'll just use Sparks as an example. And you come into your rookie year. You got 10. That's great. But you're used to 49 and 33. What goes through the head of a rookie?
Well, the very first thing he notices is how much faster and how much closer checking it is at this level. He knows that. So that kid puts those goals in, put it on the back burner. But it's always good. It's always good to have that. I mean, you know yourself. You're saying, I've got potential. I can do it here. But you know what they say about potential? It's like, you know, snow on a stove. It melts away quickly if you don't use it. Okay? So he realizes I've got the potential, and just give me a chance, and I believe I can do it. And you know what? I'm glad you brought him up, because there was one goal he scored on a weekend. His celebration was so minimal. I mean, he barely raised a stick. Well, the one that he tapped in when Mittelstad threw it to the front of the net. There was very little celebration. It was like, you know what? I've done this before. I've done this. I'm not surprised. And I'm going to do this a lot more. It's pretty classy for a 60-year-old kid that's got an amazing, amazing toolbox and even better tools in it. You know, this guy's fun to watch.
You have to redo your, your confidence. You get to a new level and you're going, oh, okay, wait a minute. As you say, I can still score.
Yep.
So snow on the stove melts away quick if you don't use it.
That's
thank you, Bill.
Oh, did I give you another one?
Yeah, well, I'm going to wait because I got your legs got to get you to the table. That was new today. I got like the other ones. You want to be quick, but not in a hurry. That was in Tittleback.
Oh,
and
my
he's,
gosh.
Put your ladder up against the right building.
I got to quit these.
WHL gives you the test before the lesson. When you're up to your butt in alligators, it's too late to learn how to drain the swamp. That's huge. Billisms. You don't want to be drinking from a fire hose with the first sip. And you rephrase that to me. You want to learn to drink from a fountain, not a fire hose. You rephrase that, but I like the first one. You got one more?
No, that's it.
You're good. Well, that's a half an hour, buddy.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Thanks, Bill.
Hey, good being with you.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it, pal. See you on March the 2nd, I think.
You bet. Wenatchee in our building.
You got her, buddy. Bill Wilms. Nathan Kander's coming up next. I'm Brooke. This is White Spot, Vancouver Giants This Week. I can't even remember the show. This is Sportsnet 650. Nathan Kander is with us now, the pride of the Vancouver Giants. White Spot, Vancouver Giants This Week. I'm Brooke Ward. It's Brooke Ward's white spot Vancouver Giants this week. That's right. Rename that, Nathan. What do you think? Does that have a ring to it?
I like it. Don't change it. Keep it. It is your Giants this week.
Yeah, baby.
No one else.
It's harder to take away from you if you put your name on it. As you well know in this broadcasting industry, things get taken away from us a lot.
Yeah, gotta own that. You gotta take control.
Like when you start, it should be Nathan Cantor's broadcast, Vancouver Giants. Brooke Ward's White Spot Vancouver. Okay, I just changed it from now on. I got rid of Bill earlier. I should have dropped that on him. But from now on, Brooke Ward's White Spot Vancouver Giants this week. Okay, from now on, next week, you're going to hear that again. How you doing, pal? Here on a Monday night. How's it going?
Yeah, no, good. Good, good, good.
Really? Good, good, good. Three times good?
Three times good for me. The team, maybe not so much after Sunday.
500 weekend, though. Let's look at the half full or half empty 500 weekend.
Well, I am a half full guy.
Are you?
For sure. I think if that's your option, if it's either it. Or, half empty, half full, you've got to look on the bright side.
You could have even. You could have half full, half. Let's drop that on people, too. People say half full, half empty. How about even?
How about right in the middle?
Neither. Where are you then? Are you right in the middle?
I think the team.
Aren't you glad you called to chat with me tonight?
You know what? It was a very, okay, right in the middle weekend. It started well.
Yeah.
And it didn't end very well. And so, everything will be okay. I really think.
It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
It's going to be fine, Nathan. Everything can be fine. The sun's coming out tomorrow somewhere.
It will. But now, let's say they got to regroup because this weekend and this week, they're right back on the bus tomorrow on the way to Spokane.
You are on that bus, man. You're on that bus.
Yeah.
How's bus life, by the way? Never mind the weekend. How's bus life? What's it like on the bus? Tell people. Paint the picture. What's it like on the bus?
It's
Is it quiet? Is it busy on your way to the road? Is it different on your way to a road trip than it is coming home from a road trip?
Yeah, well, so the way back is always dependent on the result. So,
it was quiet last night, man.
Yeah, it was a little quiet on the way back from Wenatchee. On the way, there's always a little more spirits because there's always, the buildup. And at first, there's chatter. And then it usually, depending on the length of the ride, it will die down as people, put on their headphones or take a quick nap or do whatever.
Realize how long the drive is all of a sudden. After the first 20 minutes, you're like, by the way, it's 10 hours to Prince George.
Well, Spokane's not close. Not 10, but that's a drive.
Is that a good six or seven?
Yeah. A good six.
What do you do on the bus? What do you do on the bus while you're going?
So I'm a big, big shows guy. I just got a new iPad.
Attaboy.
To increase that screen size. I was watching stuff on my phone earlier.
People who do that, they should be like deported. People who watch on their phones. I mean,
there's a lot.
It's a tiny little thing.
I know,
I need a bigger screen. I'm not in a crosswalk reading my phone, by the way, which is a whole other thing. That dumb people read their phones in a crosswalk are not paying attention. But you got to have a big screen.
That's the realization I finally came to. It was time to upgrade. I needed a bigger screen for all this. Yeah.
How many years is this? Second year in the dub for you?
Only the second, yes.
Okay, well, I give you the first.
Yeah.
So you're watching movies. See, I'd be doing stats. I'd save my stats. When I did baseball, I would save my stats for the next day, hopefully in a warm place, around the pool. Now I'm doing my stats. I'm not doing stats post-game. I save them for the next day.
Yeah, well, it's funny you mention that because
you're not getting a lot of pools, by the way, in the WHL. You can't necessarily sit by the pool in winter and early spring. But me, I was in the summer, and it was like, it's stats time. It was a great thing. Go out after the game, then go back, sleep, get up, by the pool, do stats, back to the game, shag some flies. It was great. They'd allow me to come out in the field and shag flies. I was younger then, Nathan. And then pregame meal, whatever it was, and then do the game. Rinse and repeat the next day. You got to do that.
Well, I will. Some of these hotels, they got indoor pools. Maybe I got to go hang by the pool.
Yeah,
maybe
there you go. Stats in the jacuzzi. Nathan Cantor, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, I digress. You're in Spokane and you get a bus ride. What do you do? You're big screen now?
Yes. Watching the shows, movies, whatever it is, whatever's the latest hits. And then prepping. There is, you know, you got to
send
the game notes.
That's prep?
Yeah.
Really?
A little bit. You got to have something.
Really?
Can't be all off the top of your head.
Really? I listen to you often. I can't believe you do prep. What are the other guys doing on the bus? Are they big screen or who's watching on their phone? These kids today, they're not on their phone.
Oh, some of them are.
Why? They should be big screen. Are they FaceTiming? Yeah. Are they, you know?
No, you know what? A lot of the back of the bus, it's behind me, I got to say.
It's true. You're at the front of the bus.
Well, because you're not going back there to use that washroom. So there's no reason to go to the back of the bus.
You hold it.
That's a no-go.
Yeah. Yeah. But other people, they go to the back. The players, if they have to go to the washroom, they go to the back of the bus, but they're, how do I phrase this? They're only allowed to pee.
Or they hold it even now. But there's no other option.
No other option. Pee only? Or else that'd be bad at the back.
Everyone knows that.
Rule number one.
Yeah.
You sit at the front of the bus with the coaches. Are you in row two, like Manny and Adam? Or they have their separate rows? Or how's that work?
Yeah, there's four special chairs at the front that are singles, that are upgraded seats, that are recliners, shall we say.
Spoiled.
For the coaches,
recline.
Yeah.
The players are back. Yeah.
Four special seats. I'm the first row behind those four recliners.
Really?
So third row, two on each side at the front for the coaches and Cord and Mike Bernstein, our awesome equipment and medical staff. Yep. And then,
you know, Cord, who is what? The equipment, Matt? What would you
say? Yes.
What's Cord? Okay. Head trainer, equipment manager type deal?
Yeah, so Cord is equipment, and then Mike Bernstein, who's been in the business forever.
He's got his own row.
Yes.
Yeah, at the Christmas party for the Vancouver Giants, which is great, out at Tawasin Springs in the restaurant, I was sitting at the table with Cord, and Cord was very friendly. And then after the game, I walked by, and I said, "Hi, Cord," and he just glared at me. So I thought, after the next game, I thought, okay, I don't know if I want to say hi to Cord after the game anymore. Like, they're busy. He and Chevy are there, and they're doing stuff. But, hey, Cord, how you doing? It's like, well, I either, really talk too much, believe it or not, at the Christmas party, or Cord's busy. So, post-game,
Cord's busy.
Is there a different post-game Cord, the equipment manager, than just, Christmas dinner Cord? Is it a different Cord?
Yes. Okay. I mean, I think... I think that would be. I mean, he's got stuff to do.
He's got stuff to do. They both looked at me like Chevy's sort of acknowledged me before. He didn't smile a lot, but they both looked at me like, don't bug me. I'm drying gloves. I'm doing laundry. Anyway,
no one works harder than equipment guys.
Oh,
the hours are they're a lot.
Well, back in the day when I really worked hard in radio and long shifts and extra gigs, I would go back to the radio station and people that I was friendly with would say hello. And I'd grunt at them and they were looking at me like, who's this guy? He was friendly an hour ago. And I'm like, yeah, I'm really busy and tired. So that could be the boys. Anyway, the first two rows, never mind the hockey team. First two rows, you get row two.
I get row three.
Row three.
First two rows are those. You got the head coach, associate coach in the first. Then you got Cord. You got Mike in the second. And then me and Caden Jarvis, the other staff, are left to the
video.
Normal seat.
Caden on video.
Behind.
Right.
Yes.
Did you get your own row, or are you and Caden, you get your own row?
No, we get our own. Yeah, we each get our two seats for one of us, which is good. Yeah.
And then the players, as they move back, rookies near the back, and veterans sit up front.
No, it is the opposite.
What?
It is the vets at the back. Yeah.
Near the wash, guarding the washroom.
They like it at the back. Really? The rookies are right behind me. Yeah.
See, I think that I get that because you go, don't worry, but I'm like, veterans should be at the front, rookies at the back. And then you put a rookie on the washroom. Okay, you watch out what people are doing and what they're doing. Well, anyway, it was a 1-1-1 weekend. Thanks for calling. no, I love the insight, buddy. I love the insight, how that works. So you got a road trip coming up and it's a little more lively when you head out to Spoke. Than it is once you get on your way.
Yeah, and I mean, the most lively is after a win.
Yeah.
That's what we're hoping for. You get a couple of honks after every win.
Really?
The awesome bus driver Norm. Yeah, that's
Norm.
The tradition.
Norm!
You got to get the honks.
So you got Spokane, you got Tri-City, you're Everett. You a couple of honks after a win? What after a loss? Nothing?
Yeah. Nothing. No, really? You get out of there.
So you want six honks. You're looking, and in the parking lot honks? Or?
Yeah, on the way out of the parking lot, okay. As you're leaving.
In your face, Spokane. Yeah.
So it's a reminder on your way out. Gotcha. We won.
You get Spoke, you get Tri-City at Everett, you're looking for six honks. Six honks is what you're looking for on the
I hope so.
Wednesday,
you know
Friday,
what?
Saturday.
Because it's Spokane Wednesday, Tri-City Friday, Everett Saturday, then home on Sunday should mention that's a fun one. That's Remax Presents Nickelodeon Night.
Oh, it's Nickelodeon Night. What happens?
Oh, yeah. Ninja Turtle jerseys
will
be worn on Sunday. Oh, come on.
I've seen
they
them before.
Awesome.
I hope they're new. They're different.
They're a little different. They're different. They look great. So that'll be Sunday. But I think you're hoping, I mean, these are some good teams, Everett, Spokane. I'd be happy with four honks will do.
Four or six honks will be satisfactory. Three honks is a 500. You had a 500 trip. You get three honks. Do you get a honk after an overtime loss?
No, loss. It's a loss, Brooke.
No.
It's a loss.
Not a single point. No loser honk.
Yeah.
Wow, man, that's crazy. And the ninja, teenage ninja, like I've seen them before. They were dressed like turtles.
Yes.
And I can't remember if they won or lost, but sometimes it's like, oh Lord, the poor guys. Everyone does it, but we're dressed like turtles. Easy taunting for the opponent. I'm dressed like a turtle. That's not good. I don't need that. But
well, they can't share it because everyone else has to do their own version of it anyway.
Well, you're lining up at center ice. You're kind of going, you got the turtle? Yeah, I got the turtles. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you're fan, Brooke.
We had the turtles before. Yeah, I know. You had the turtles. That's what I'm shooting at center. You're dressed like a turtle. I know. You guys do this? Yeah, we did this. Okay, Turtle Day on Sunday, March the 2nd. Well, Nathan, thanks for calling, buddy.
Yeah.
It's always a pleasure. I thought I had nothing, and then here I am. Like, sometimes you got your game, I got nothing. And then it turned into some great stuff.
Turned into lots. We had lots.
Yeah, I had nothing with Bill either, but turned into good stuff.
Good.
I know. Thanks, pal. Good. We'll see you next week. Enjoy the trip in row three.
I think I'm going to need a new show.
Yeah, don't go
it's
to
a
the
long one.
Yeah, it's Brooke Ward's Vancouver Giants this week. Nathan Cantor's play-by-play. If you go to the washroom, do you ever go? You probably hold it. If you go, you go number one. I would never. I don't care. It's a 12-hour trip. I'm holding it, man. I'm not going back to that washroom ever. So cross your legs and make sure everything's fine. It's only Spokane. 6 hours. You'll be fine. Like your parents say to you all the time when you go out, okay, have you gone to the washroom before you go out? Before you go to bed, you go to the washroom before you go. Because people, you don't want to wake up in the middle of the night. Ah, thanks, Nathan. It's our final show. Have you said hi to Jack yet? Jack the Giant's here, Nathan. Say hi to Jack.
Hey, Jack. Bye, Jack.
You're not a Jack guy. Thanks, Nathan. Appreciate it, pal. Enjoyed the road trip.
Thanks so much.
I've dealt that. But thanks, buddy.
Okay.
He is Nathan Cantor, Sir Nathan of Cantor, here on The Big Show tonight, tying a bow around the last 60 minutes of your life. Brooke Ward's White Spot Vancouver Giants this week. That's right. Until the bosses tell me I can't say that, I'm going to keep saying it. Here's what we've learned today. Thank you so much for joining us. Bill Wimsler in the program, too. Nathan Cantor moments ago. Jack, okay. I got Jack the Giant leaning over me. And weighing upon my shoulder. Hi, Jack. Goodbye. Hi and goodbye, Jack. And a big ho-ho-ho to you too, big guy. Giants back in action again. As mentioned, road trip Wednesday, Spokane. Friday, Tri-City. Saturday at Everett. Home March the 2nd. It is March, folks. Oh, bring on the spring. Wenatchee Wild in town for a 4 o'clock game. There'll be a Save on Foods post-game skate at that game, too. Make sure you bring your skates or you can rent them at the arena and hit the ice with the players and Jack the Giant as well. Thank you so much for listening tonight. I very much appreciate it. I'm Brooke Ward. This has been Brooke Ward's White Spot Vancouver Giants this week. You got it where you need to be. No need to go anywhere else. This is Sportsnet 650.